The most poignant seven words ever uttered in any speech anywhere. Don't give up. Don't ever give up. Those great people didn't. I now have a responsibility to also not ever give up. Live, fight like hell. And when you get too tired to fight, then lay down and rest and let somebody else fight for you.
You can't be scared to die for the truth. The truth is the only thing that's ever going to be constant. And you can't fear what might happen to you if you were to tell the truth. Because what happens to you if you don't tell the truth is worse than telling the truth will ever be.
Never give up, work hard, and continue to learn. Not only do I talk the talk, I try and walk the walk.
Essentially, and I would say this to anybody, is that, you know, it's really, it's easy to embrace hopelessness when things seem insurmountable. And yet, it's actually just a matter of time until all of the elements come together for things to be all right. I mean, I believe that, you know, most difficult situations will resolve themselves if you are persistent and if you don't give up entirely. And that's what I never did. I never gave up.
If you're convinced that you're going to fail or fall or get hurt, that will come to fruition because that's what you're visualizing. I was willing to get hurt along the way, but I didn't visualize myself getting hurt along the way. And I think that's what stops a lot of people, and that's really what separates a lot of people from being world champions or from being as good as they can, because they stop at some point saying, oh no, I am not capable of this, or I'll probably get hurt doing this. And if you approach anything with that hesitation, you're going to fail. I always approached it like, this is going to work. I'm going to figure this out, even if it takes me hundreds of attempts. And I wasn't, you know, the idea of falling and getting back up again, that didn't really bother me at all.
When you're young and you're a kid, you have so many. I grew up in the hood, man. I mean, I'm Flint, Michigan, where I'm from. And they say, Terry Crews, you can do anything you want to do. You can do anything you want to do. And then as soon as you go to class, you tell them what you want to do, and they're like, man, what make you think you're going to do something like that, man? You crazy?
Yeah.
And I said, okay, wait, which one is it? Now, can I do it or can I do it?
What? Right, right, right.
And so I started to call people on that. I said, you know what? I'm going to go for it. I'm going to just try something that I've never done before. I want to design furniture. I want to be a part of this thing. So I'm going. And you know what happened? The stuff worked.
If you just force yourself to take a couple small steps, there's always a surprise.
The only thing that I see that is distinctly different about me is I'm not afraid to die on a treadmill. I will not be outworked,
right?
Period.
Yeah.
You know? You might have more talent than me. You might be smarter than me. You might be sexier than me. You might be all of those things. You got it on me in 9 categories. But if we get on the treadmill together, right? There's 2 things. You're getting off first, or I'm gonna die. It's really that simple.
Growing up, I wasn't the richest, but I had a rich family in spirit and in support. And, standing here with 19 championships is something I never thought would happen. You know, just I went on the courts with just a ball and a racket and a hope, and that's all I had. And it's inspiring for all you guys out there that want to do something and want to be the best that you can be and want to do the best that you can do. You just never give up because you never know what can happen. You never know who you can inspire.
A lot of times I'll be in a 200-mile run or something like that, and I'm all jacked up. Body's broken, mind's broken, spirit's broken. I start to say, what if I can pull this off? When I first walked into the Navy SEAL recruiter's office, he looked at me and said, there's only been 35 African Americans in 70 years make it through. You know what I said to myself? What if I can be the 36th? It's the what if I can pull off a miracle. What if I can become someone that no one thinks I can be? And just that, just me talking about that, I have the hair going up on my arms because it makes me just like, what if?
Never, ever, ever give up. Chicken Soup for the Soul was rejected by 144 publishers. 144 publishers said, we don't want to publish a collection of short stories. The title, stupid, Chicken Soup for the Soul, what does that mean? People don't buy collections of short stories. There's never been, you know, successful chain of doing that. So literally, we spent 14 months trying to find a publisher. And we'd go to New York with our agent, and eventually our agent gave us the book back and said, I can't sell this. So we went to the National Booksellers Association convention down in Anaheim. We went from booth to booth to booth for 3 days. And there were 4,000 publishers represented there. And we go, would you publish our book? Would you publish our book? Would you publish our book? And we got no, 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 no. It was late on the third day that a little publisher from Florida, after we'd gotten over 144 rejections, said, we'll read it. And then they said, we said, well, how many copies do you think we'll sell? After they said, yeah, we'll buy it. A couple weeks later, they said, we'll publish it. And they said, well, maybe 20,000 if we're lucky. And we said, our goal is to sell 1.5 million in 1.5 years. Now, have you ever told someone your dream and had them laugh out loud at you? He laughed out loud. Now, if we had given up after 100 publishers had said no, I wouldn't be standing here today. You know, wouldn't have happened. And so you've got to be willing to persevere. Because we didn't take no. See, when the world says no, you say next. Only 5 or 6 billion people out there you can go and ask, right? There's over 4,000 publishers just here in the state of California. So what we have is this endless possibility, but you have to persevere. It's as if the universe tests our commitment. And so today we have 147 titles in print. We sold over 115 million copies. We're in 47 languages, and over $1 billion worth of Chicken Soup for the Soul books have been sold worldwide. So if you're willing to decide what you want, believe it's possible, consciously envision the future, feel the feelings of what it would feel like if you had achieved this goal. You can have anything, and then you take action, both obvious actions and inspired action. You can do anything.
We were forced in the beginning. I wish I could say we were geniuses and said we're going to start our own company. You know, that's not what happened. You know, in the beginning, we went to every single label, and every single label shut their door on us. The genius thing that we did was we didn't give up. We didn't say, because these guys, you know, we use that what do they know approach. You know, we didn't give up at that point. I think that, you know, that was the genius thing we did. We start selling our own CDs, and we built our own buzz, and then the record company came back to us. So now we had a different negotiation. You know, it wasn't the same artist label relationship. Now we retain ownership in our own company, and it was the best thing for us.
What age should one give up on their dream? Never. Goethe said this, Henry Ford said this, Rockefeller said this, you're only as young or as old as your dreams. And as long as you still have dreams and visions and goals, they keep you young. It's the most amazing darn thing.
One of the greatest pieces of advice I've ever gotten in my life was from my mom. You know, when I was a little kid, there was a kid who was bugging me, you know, in school. And she said, okay, I'm going to tell you what to do. She said, the kid's bugging you. He puts his hands on you. You pick up the nearest rock or whatever you can get your hands on, and you lay him out. And I did, and I felt better, and it worked. For me, you know, that was a great lesson, because someone had invaded my space, invaded my being, you know, and was doing something against me that I didn't want to be done. So I took control of the situation, and I ran with it. And many years later, after being, you know, turned into a product, you know, by a very huge corporation that had their hands all over me, and I couldn't escape it. you know. I promised myself that I would continue to move forward and do my best not to compromise in any way whatsoever, you know, not allow anyone to put their hands on me.
I don't know what that dream is that you have. I don't care how far-fetched it might appear to be. I don't care how disappointing it might have been as you've been working toward that dream. But here's what I know. That dream that you're holding in your mind, that it's possible. See, sometimes we can't say, I can do that. But what we can say, that it's possible that I can have my dream.